What's going on, my friends? It's Pixel Dan, and man, I know it has been far too long since Jonathan and myself have sat down to record this podcast, but we're back. We're getting things back on track. We're trying to get going. So I won't keep you guys too long before we get into the show. I just wanted to take a few moments to plug a few things that I've got coming up. So first things first, October 1st and 2nd, I will be appearing at Retropalooza at the Arlington Convention Center in Arlington, Texas. I'm really looking forward to this event. This will be my first year attending Retropalooza. This is an annual event featuring some of the best YouTube personalities in the universe. It's got a free play arcade and console games, contests, competitions, guest panels, all kinds of exciting stuff. Of course, if you are at all familiar with The Game Chasers, which is a really, really fun YouTube show, if you've not checked that out, I would highly recommend it. But I'm good friends with those guys, Billy and Jay, and this is the convention that they put on. So I was very excited to get the invitation as a guest to come to their event this year. So I will have a table there. And there's going to be a lot of other great guests attending the show as well. A lot of popular YouTubers that maybe you're watching. Guys like The Completionist, whose stuff I really enjoy. I'm very excited to meet Gerard The Completionist. Andre Meadows of Black Nerd Comedy. Metal Jesus Rocks. Pat the NES Punk, The Gaming Historian. Lots and lots of other guys. So I will have a table set up there. So feel free to stop by and chat with me. And I will also have a panel at some point over the course of the weekend. And what's really exciting about that is at that panel, I will be debuting the brand new series that I am doing as a collaboration with my good friend Norm, the gaming historian, called From Plastic to Pixels, which is a show where the two of us sit down and we talk about video games that are based on toy properties. It's a really cool effort. I'm really excited about it. It's a show I've been wanting to do for a long time. It's kind of one of those deals where I bring the toy knowledge, Norm brings the game knowledge, then we play the game, and it's a lot of fun. So the first episode of that's going to debut here at Retropalooza, and then I'll be launching that series online in November. So 2 weeks later, I will be on the other side of the country in Wallingford, Connecticut on October 15th and 16th for Retro World Expo. This is my second year attending this show. It's another incredibly cool event. In fact, it's going to be very similar to what's going on at Retropalooza, and a lot of the same guests are going to be at Retro World Expo, including myself, but then guys like Norm the Gaming Historian, the Game Chasers, Pat the NES Punk, so a lot of the same guys will be there as well. And again, free play arcade, great vendors, panels. I'll be showing the debut episode of From Plastic to Pixels at my panel at this show as well. So a lot of exciting things coming up. This is probably the last two big trips I'm making for this year, so if you guys have the opportunity, if you're in the Texas area or on the East Coast there for in the Connecticut area, it would be really cool if you guys stopped by to check out these shows and come and see me. It'd be really, really cool. Otherwise, I'm pretty much going to be stuck around my area for the rest of the year after that until next year when we start the whole convention tour all over again. So you can get information on both of these cool conventions, retropalooza.com for Texas and retroworldexpo.com for the show in Connecticut. So there you go, guys. I'm done plugging my stuff for now. I hope you guys enjoy the latest installment of the Geek Easy Podcast. Take care, my friends.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geek Easy.
Welcome back to a new installment of the Geek Easy Podcast. I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
What's going on, John?
Not a whole lot. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I barely see you anymore.
I know. It's crazy.
And all our friends in the internet, how's it going, guys?
Good to see you guys again.
Yeah, Pleasure as always.
I'm really excited about this particular episode because we've upgraded some of our equipment.
Yeah, we have fancy new stuff.
We have some new stuff here. It might be like a trial thing. I think we'll get better with it as we go and kind of figure it out. But I already am really happy with this because I think people are going to be able to hear both of us a lot better now. Mm-hmm. We have individual microphones now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Have to scream.
Individual mics, and I can control volume on the soundboard. We're in business. We're like professionals right here. That's what I'm saying.
It is difficult for me to have this microphone this close and not just break into karaoke.
All right, let's do it.
For the internet to listen to me sing.
I think it's karaoke time. Hit it, John.
I don't have any music.
Oh, man.
I don't have words in front of me. I don't know the words. That's why I go to karaoke.
Oh, yes. That would be helpful, I guess.
Yeah. So maybe next time.
Maybe next time. Well, that was a special edition karaoke episode of the Geek Easy Podcast.
We should. What does that guy do? Carpool karaoke or whatever? Is that...
I don't know.
Okay.
What is that?
That's one of the late night guys does something like that.
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah. So we'll figure out what it is, and then we'll copy it.
And then we'll do it. We'll do it ourselves. Sweet. So we've got a lot of things to talk about, and I think we're going to just kind of see what happens here, because there's a lot of things that we would like to discuss. There's some new things that we've seen since the last time we were together. The last episode we recorded was before San Diego Comic-Con, so I've been on several trips since then, seen a lot of things, done a lot of things. We're getting ready to hit the new fall season of television, so we'll have some new things to watch. Of course, there's been movies that we've watched over the summer that we can talk a little bit about some of those things.
Did we ever discuss Suicide Squad?
We never discussed Suicide Squad. We had intended to actually record an episode right after seeing that movie and didn't. So we should talk about Suicide Squad.
Okay. It's been a while since I've seen it.
It has been a while. Yeah. I've only seen it the once. Did you see it more than once?
No, intended to, but...
Yeah, so we both watched it opening night. We saw it opening night. So let's just start. What were your initial impressions of Suicide Squad?
Best they've done so far?
Yeah?
Out of the three that count towards the universe, I would say for sure. Very messy still. Like, a lot of the reviews came out, I remember they hit on a Tuesday, and then we went and saw the Thursday night screening, and I remember when the reviews came out, they were tearing it pretty hard.
Yeah.
And it was kind of bummed me out, and then by the time I saw it, a part of it was that my expectations had lowered, but I remember when I saw it thinking, I'm not necessarily going to say most of what people said were wrong, but man, I think they took it way too seriously.
I think so, too, and, I think we both kind of agreed when we left that movie that it was a pretty messy movie still. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a mess. But it was a much more fun mess than what we've seen with stuff like Batman v Superman and Man of Steel. Because I definitely enjoyed watching Suicide Squad. I really did. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed a lot of the characterizations that we saw in the film. You know, there was things about it that weren't super exciting, and I still didn't leave the movie, like, feeling the way I typically feel after, like, watching a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, and I feel like it was just, what was the way we were describing it that night? We were saying it was, like, the least DC movie that was out there so far, or something like that.
Yeah, well, I just know, like, when... Because, again, the reviews got very kind of nitpicky about certain things, and I get very nitpicky about a lot of things in Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman. And I know, you know, we know a few people who are bigger into those movies than we are, for sure.
Right.
And the nitpicky thing comes up sometimes, because if you really try to tear any of these comic movies apart, you probably can.
Right.
It's just, and this is what I've always said when that defense comes up, I'm like, yeah, like, yes, I can go in and I can probably tear Iron Man 2 to shreds if I really want to. However, I am being entertained while I'm watching that movie, so a lot of the stuff that I don't focus on these things that are very nitpicky, because I've got fun stuff to distract me.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of the thing I felt with Suicide Squad. And it was kind of proof of what I've been saying about the other two movies, is just that. Like, yes, a lot of weird decisions went into the filmmaking and the storytelling aspects of this, and a lot of it was just very messy, and a lot of the, you know, the story beats just didn't make any sense, and all that stuff was in there, but every once in a while I laughed.
Yeah.
So it's much easier to ignore some of that weird stuff if you have something to hold on to that's really, you know, entertaining you as you go. So.
Right, right. And, yeah, there were some very funny moments in there, and there was some pretty cool fan service in there, too, that I was really surprised by. I am still shocked to this day that, and by the way, spoilers right now, I guess.
Yeah,
Suicide Squad's been out for a while, but yeah. We talk spoilers.
If you're listening
show,
to the show,
so,
you've probably seen it, or don't want to, one of the two.
But yeah. I'm shocked to this day that there was no leaked footage of Harley Quinn dressed in her, like, classic jester outfit, because that was totally a scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, they did
brief,
this whole...
But...
It was brief. It was, like, one of those flashbacky things, but what they did was they totally recreated that famous Alex Ross Mad Love cover with Joker in the tuxedo, mm-hmm. and, like, dancing with Harley Quinn. And it was just a really cool moment to kind of see her actually dressed like the original animated series Harley Quinn, which is where Harley was born.
Yes.
She's one of those characters that was created for the cartoon, so that's kind of fun. And then there was even that moment where they were all suiting up and they were giving their stuff back from prison, and the first thing she pulled out of her little suitcase was her jester outfit, and
yeah.
she, like, looked it over. So I just thought that little stuff like that was fun. I like
yeah,
that they did
for sure.
They did a lot of, you know, little comic booky things, and that really helps these movies.
Yeah,
you know?
the bit they did with Captain Boomerang and Slipknot was directly from the comics.
Was
one
it?
Of the early comics, you know.
So
I mean,
that's cool.
Obviously, in the comics, Captain Boomerang looked a lot more ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that was neat, too. That's when I didn't actually catch that. Somebody showed that to me, and they actually showed me the panels from where it was from. I was like, yep, that's pretty much
that's,
the scene, you know.
That's
yeah.
cool. He was a fun character, too. I liked him. He was, like, his character was totally like the... He was, like, a little bit of the troublemaker. He didn't care what was going on. He wanted to drink all the time. But he was funny. Like,
yeah.
It made me laugh quite a bit. Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed a lot of the characters. I thought Margot Robbie's Harley was awesome.
Yep,
I knew she was going to steal the show going into it. But, like, I was pleasantly surprised by, like, just how fun that character actually was in the
yeah.
movie.
I really thought they were going to do one of those anti-hero type things with Deadshot, and I don't feel that they did.
Yeah.
As soon as they said Will Smith was doing it, I was like, he's going to be a misunderstood good guy, or he'll be the assassin with a heart of gold or whatever. And there's a little bit of that there, but I think there's a little bit of that with Deadshot anyway, from the little bit I know about the character. You know?
Right.
I mean, he does have a daughter that, you know, that he loves.
Also, I'm pretty sure that whole Batman scene... with him not killing Batman because his daughter was there is
yeah.
one of those right from the comics things.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. pretty cool too.
That's what I was saying. Like
yeah.
I was in with all that stuff, and he didn't really do much outside of that. So I was pleasantly surprised by how that went down too. Like, they did actually seem to be bad guys, and I really thought that was going to be one of those deals where, you know, half of them aren't all that bad, and
uh-huh.
maybe a couple of them are, and whatever else. I wasn't really digging what they did with. You know how they sort of made the Enchantress the villain?
She was basically the villain.
Flat out was the villain.
Yeah.
But it was just so... It was kind of so rushed how it happened.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they didn't... I don't remember them ever really exposing much of an evil plot other than, you know, we're going to take over the world by causing a tornado of junk in the city that will just last for hours and hours and hours until someone comes to stop me.
Well, it's just the typical, that's been the villain's plot in every one of these movies so far. Like, it really has. Like, let's just make giant things rip through the city, like tornadoes and things, and that's it. That's all we've got going on. So that's like the same thing we've been seeing, but yeah, I was kind of surprised by that, and I think that's what they were going for. They were
yeah.
like, oh, we're going to do the surprise thing, because all of the promotional stuff shows Enchantress as part of the team.
Yeah,
but
and I mean, I will say I was swerved by it,
yeah.
I just didn't care.
Yeah.
So.
What did you think, it is an important question to talk about, what did you think of the Joker in this movie?
No? The jury's still out.
I'm you know, I enjoyed what I saw. I didn't dislike it. I'm not in love with it by any means, but I was fine with it. I definitely didn't leave going, oh yeah, he's the Joker, you know, yeah, what I mean? There was none of that at all. I definitely didn't feel that way, but I enjoyed what I saw. I didn't expect there to be a lot of them, and there wasn't a terribly lot of them, but I knew that that was kind of what we were getting out of it. I figured most of what we were going to see with him was going to be flashbacky kind of stuff, but we did kind of have that whole subplot of him, like, trying to break Harley out. And, I remember one of my little criticisms when we were first talking about this movie when it ended, and it was one of those things I don't know, it didn't really sit with me all the way through, but we talked about it a little bit afterwards. I felt like Joker cared about Harley a little too much, because that's, you know, the way that relationship has always worked has always been much more of her being obsessed with Joker and him just being like, well, I'll let her follow me around and use her when I need to use her for things. You know, that's like his motive with her. He obviously doesn't care for her. At least that's the impression I always got with him. But
yeah,
like,
I mean, it's
like
a classic abusive relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's an abusive relationship. And I kind of felt like he was a little too into her in the movie. You know, and he did spend the whole movie trying to break her out. And then when we were talking about it, you kind of brought up that whole, well, it's the situation where, you know, he's allowed to slap her around, but nobody else is allowed to slap her around kind of mentality. So I guess if that's the way you look at it, I'm okay with that. But I still feel like there is just a little too much of, like, an actual love thing going on there.
I've heard some stuff since then, and obviously with the internet you take it with a grain of salt, but because of all the recuts and reshoots that they did with that, and apparently Leto himself was pretty upset with the end product, because apparently he filmed a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And almost all of it got cut.
I know.
At the end.
We totally got to talk about that, because he was all over the internet, like, just publicly...
Yeah.
Like, bashing the final film.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of shocked by that.
And that's why I'm wondering if we'll even see any more of that Joker or not, or how upset he is, or what the contract states, or how any of that stuff works.
You gotta imagine they weren't happy with him doing all that.
No, probably not. Yeah. And I've seen bigger bash sessions out of people before. It's not like he was like making it his mission to tear it apart, but he was not saying anything nice, and he was very visibly upset by his lack of presence in it and all the work he put into it that didn't end up being anything. But there was a couple of people I kind of heard coming through with that. You know, some of the scenes ended up different, and one of the things was, like, when he rescues her in that helicopter, I heard something that, I didn't get the full specifics on it, but apparently the way they shot that scene, he actually was trying to kill her in that helicopter, I think. And then they recut it to where it was a little more him trying to save her to kind of fit with that new flow. And that's, you know, you'll never know. You'll never know what the original vision for that movie looked like.
Right.
You could definitely tell they had made some changes, like I said, with as messy as some of that stuff was. Some of that mess, I'm sure, was there from the get-go, and some of it was added in when it came along. And, you know, we know the studio stepped in and made a bunch of changes.
A bunch.
I have to assume they were for the better.
Yeah, I think that was... Remember the news saying that they were scrambling to make Suicide Squad more fun.
Yeah.
After the reaction of Batman versus Superman. Yeah. So I think a lot of the kind of tone and humor of the movie was all added. I don't think that was really there. I think that's why they started pumping out the trailers with the rock music, and why they added that soundtrack to the movie. I think that was all after the fact.
Yeah.
And same with Affleck. I don't think Affleck was actually going to be in that movie. Like, I know that there was that Batman scene, but I would be willing to bet that that was just going to be, like, the Batman stunt double for that chase scene.
Yeah.
And they added in all that Affleck stuff after the fact. I just kind of, it felt like that was put in there to, like, try to add some more cohesion to the story that they're building.
The after credits thing definitely felt very tacked
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
You know? It was very much like, I don't know, people do this, right? Let's do this, too.
Right.
You know.
Oh, and the Flash cameo.
Yeah.
How fun was that?
Oh,
I bet that was added late, too. I bet
that
it was.
That was neat.
But that whole, like, him catching Captain Boomerang thing was pretty cool. Like, I thought that was pretty great. I mean, he wasn't my Flash, but still. It was pretty cool.
Well, you know, and you wonder, how that plays in timeline and stuff like that too, mm-hmm. because it didn't even seem the Justice League trailer that's come out from Comic-Con, you know, Barry obviously has powers already because they already showed him in Batman vs. Superman, but he doesn't seem like he's active.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing... Why would they find footage of him out of costume in a grocery store as their thing if there was an actual Flash running around the city already?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wonder where in the timeline that's all supposed to take place, because if Bruce hasn't even gone and recruited him, where did he get the suit?
Exactly. You know. Well, yeah, because he was all suited up and everything
in the
Suicide Squad, so he was ready.
Yeah.
Well, it was still a fun movie.
I wanted to see it again, and not just for research purposes. I actually kind of wanted to sit through it again and see what a second impression did for
me.
So
too.
When it comes
me
out
too.
On home video, I'll give it a run.
I liked Katana.
She was cool.
She was cool. I felt like they... And it was really funny, too, because I had just got done watching that season of Arrow before going to see Suicide Squad. Season 3, which is the Ra's al Ghul season. So Katana actually had a role in that. Mm-hmm. So I just got done watching Katana on Arrow and then saw her immediately in Suicide Squad. And I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of crazy. I just got done watching a bunch of Katana stuff. But I kind of felt like that flowed really well, too. Like, it's basically the same kind of concept, and she looks... like Katana, so that was kind of fun. It was kind of cool just seeing some different, lesser DC characters crammed into a movie, I will say that. Going back to that soundtrack, I will say that even though I liked all the songs that they put in there, they felt so tacked on to this movie.
For sure.
Like, they were...
I mean, you got 10 of them in the first 5
dude,
minutes.
Dude, like, every... Yeah. I saw some... I think... I don't even remember where I saw it. It was a friend of mine online. It might have been my buddy Daniel Pickett over at Action Figure Insider. He made a comment that I thought was perfect. He said something along the lines of, it was like every member of the Suicide Squad got their wrestler entrance themed. Because it was literally like every time they introduce a new character in the first 10 minutes of the movie, bam, one of those songs hit, you know? And it was like to introduce
and,
the character.
In like 10 seconds. And it, you know... Especially the first couple, you are like, this song, you know?
Yeah.
But then when you just keep getting bombarded, and I think I even mentioned something while we were watching it, because I ended up enjoying this movie, but in the first 10 minutes, when that kept happening, like, it was pulling me out of it after a while. Like, the first couple were awesome, then after a while, I'm like...
What is going on?
Are they trying to so hard to make me think I'm watching Guardians of the Galaxy?
That's, they were trying for the Guardians of the Galaxy thing with the soundtrack, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So. But I don't know. I'm still pretty excited for Wonder Woman, because I feel like the trailers we've seen for Wonder Woman have been very exciting. Mm-hmm. I am really, really hoping that this is going to be an awesome movie. That shot in her trailer where she whips out the golden lasso and it's glowing and she's whipping it around, like, that's a pretty exciting scene. Like, that...
Yeah.
That gets me pretty pumped up.
Yeah, the fighting
looks
really cool.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. The Justice League teaser footage that we saw at Comic-Con, what was your kind of feelings?
It looked fun.
Yeah.
These movies have a hill to climb with me.
Yeah. Well,
there's
absolutely
nothing that, I will be excited to a point about all of it, because it's Superman and Batman and all these guys in movies and... You know, whether they're the best movies or the worst movies, it's still fun to go see and talk about, you know.
Absolutely.
So on that level, yes, I will be excited no matter what. But, like, I'm just at a point where, I want to be excited for Wonder Woman. I'm having a hard time getting there because they keep tripping over their own feet trying to make these things.
Yeah, I agree.
And now they've got their showrunner. They have found their equivalent to Kevin Feige. Or Feige, or however you say that, over at Marvel and Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns, yep.
But his influence won't be felt until after Wonder Woman.
Yes.
So we don't know what kind. You know, most of Wonder Woman was shot a little bit before Suicide Squad came out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what kind of tone they're really stuck with, or how much they can change on that one, or anything. It looks better than the rest have been, but all of them have looked better than they ended up being.
That's true.
And then even when Justice League comes out, we know they're going for a lighter tone. They're trying to fix some of the problems they've had. They've got a guy running it. And I know I've got a great deal of respect for Jeff Johns as far as his comic book work. And I know he's done a lot of kind of consultation on some TV projects and stuff before that have been good.
Right.
So I was very excited about that, and then somebody reminded me that he apparently had a lot to do with the Green Lantern movie also.
Yes.
So
I'm like, yes. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, he was pretty heavily involved in that Green Lantern movie,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure. He was definitely heavily involved with that whole Green Lantern because that was a big deal in the books for a while.
Yeah.
They had, like, the whole Blackest Night stuff and everything, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see what happens with all of that. And Affleck is taking the helm, like, directing the Batman solo movie,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we also got some teasers with that this past month here, just a couple weeks ago, within the last couple weeks. We saw that test footage revealing that the main villain in the solo Batman movie is gonna be Deathstroke.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I thought that was a fun way to reveal it, and I think that's going to be a cool character for that.
Yeah, because he just straight up, he didn't even put any words in it. He just straight up tweeted that test footage.
Yeah!
Like, Ben Affleck, here you go.
Yep. Here's footage of Deathstroke just straight walking into camera shot, full-on costume.
Yeah.
I like the costume fine. Honestly, it doesn't seem like too... Like, the reaction to it's actually been mostly positive, I think. I've seen some people say it looks a little too armory. But I guess this is... With me, again, this is another character I just got done watching a whole bunch on Arrow. And I feel like his costume looks pretty much exactly the same on Arrow as what we're about to see in these movies. So it doesn't... I guess it doesn't really bother me.
And the it's one of those characters, too, where the armory look kind of makes sense.
It does make sense with a character like him.
I mean, as long as he's still got mobility with it, it would make sense that he would want a little bit of protection also.
It was colorful. Yep. And that's one of the things I care about the most. It was the appropriate colors. He was instantly recognizable as the character that he was portraying, and that's the most important thing when it comes to movie designs, I think.
Absolutely.
And then we found out that the man behind the Deathstroke mask is going to be... Joe Manganiello?
Yeah.
Is that how you say his last name?
Close enough.
Manganiello. I love that guy.
Yeah, that guy's great.
That dude's awesome. I'll always think of him first as Marshall's friend on How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, I still think of him first as Flash Thompson.
Oh, Flash Thompson, totally. He was Flash Thompson. But he was also in True Blood, and he was pretty cool in that show. I just like that guy. He was in Pee-wee's Big Holiday. Have you watched Pee-wee's Big Holiday
yet? I want to.
You have to watch it just for him, mostly, because he's like a main character in that movie.
That's awesome.
He plays himself.
That's awesome.
And it's great.
Yeah, so, I keep forgetting that's out there, and every once in a while I'll be browsing through Netflix. I'm like, I forgot that exists. I got to watch that, but I only have 40 minutes now, not an hour and a half. So.
It's so incredibly Pee-wee.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like his old movies.
That's
it's
awesome.
Insane. But anyway, like, even like the character's look, I feel like he's going to be good at portraying that look. Like, he looks like he could be Slade Wilson. Seriously. Throw an eye patch on him, maybe put a little bit of gray in the beard and everything there, mm-hmm. boom, instant Slade Wilson. I think he's going to look great in that role, so I'm pretty excited to see him in a Batman movie.
Yep.
I think that's going to be kind of fun.
And as a villain and everything, that I think that'll be super neat.
And speaking of Batman, more information. We've got a lot of DC stuff coming out lately. It's crazy. We got that image of Batman from the Justice League movie.
You mean Night Owl?
Oh, yeah. We got a new image of Night Owl, who's going to be in Justice League. That's really exciting. I think it's funny that the entire internet's like, oh, wow, look, Night Owl.
Yeah, well, that's exactly... I mean, it looks like he just put that suit on.
Right. So I assume he's wearing the goggles because he's welding something in the Batcave or something.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, tactical gear, so it might have, like, infrared or
that
some sort of readings or whatever.
I will wait to pass judgment because Batman has lots of gadgets and lots of different suits. I will say that if that's, like, the look of his suit in that movie, I'm going to be slightly disappointed because I feel like we finally got the suit that I really wanted to see in a movie, and then they've switched it back to the black armor,
and I
don't really like that.
I'm sure it'll be a little bit, because they will have to change it
every movie
somehow, but I never got the impression that was going to be his suit in that movie. I think it's just like for a scene or two or whatever.
And I'm fine with that.
Nothing about that picture upset me. I found it a little ridiculous, but nothing. Because I'm like, Zach, you've seen your own movie. You know this looks exactly like that. You know?
Well, he probably just said, hey, I got this laying around. Can we use this somewhere? It's just the actual same costume from...
Somebody call Patrick Wilson and see if he still got it.
Oh, man. It was fine. I just thought it was funny that the whole internet's jumping on the Night Owl joke, like, immediately.
Yeah.
So
I
was like, well, this is pleasing me. This is fun.
The internet makes me so happy sometimes.
Good times. So I think that's all we've got going on with the DC movie-verse to really talk about.
Yeah, spin that into something else, too. And this is sort of one of those old stories that keeps popping back up. But have you seen this stuff with Rebecca Hall talking about Iron Man 3 at all? This is stuff that came up, I mean, months or maybe even a year or so ago. There was some news coming out about how, I think it might have been Shane Black. Somebody had basically come out and said that the villain in Iron Man 3 was supposed to be the female,
mm-hmm.
was supposed to be the main villain. And halfway through shooting, the studio stepped in and was like, well, you know, we're not going to sell enough toys if the villain's a girl. And that's like, seriously, I think it was Perlmutter, the guy who's not in charge of any of that stuff anymore.
Right.
And I think if I had to guess, I'd say that's probably one of the reasons why he's not in charge of that stuff anymore. But they flat out just said, you know, we're not going to sell enough toys if the main bad guy's a girl, so we got to change it. And that's like halfway through filming. And so now they had to up Guy Pearce's role and lower Rebecca Hall's role. And when the news first came out several months ago, again, I want to say it might have even been Shane Black.
I feel like we did talk about that originally.
Yeah.
Because the irony of that situation is that they didn't even make toys of the villain.
Exactly.
At all. Like, there were just no toys.
Exactly.
So everybody was like, oh, this is a stupid thing. And it's like, well, yeah, that is stupid because they didn't make toys of the bad guy anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that was one of the first tweets I read in response. I think probably both times the story has broke was somebody was like, hey, you guys remember the summer of 2013 when all those Aldrich Killian action figures were flying off the shelves?
Because they didn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this, you know, somebody caught Rebecca Hall and asked her about it too, and she pretty much said another one of those things where it's like, well, they didn't end up doing what I signed on for, but once you're there, you're there. So, you know, they seem to be doing more things now, so it's cool that they've got Brie Larson doing Captain Marvel, and hopefully they'll have some more female presence on the main villain side at some point. But
yeah.
Sounds like, again, more proof that Iron Man 3 was almost a totally different movie.
That's
or at
crazy.
Least a totally different third act.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I like Iron Man 3 and I like the third act fine, but I would have preferred to have seen something a little more interesting.
Yeah.
So.
A real Mandarin?
Well, I was fine with it.
You like what they did
stuff.
With
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's not what I would have done at any point, but, I mean, they got me, and I smiled, so.
Well, real Mandarin's out there, though, too.
Yeah.
They filmed that little, did you see that little?
Oh, yeah.
They put on one of the DVDs.
Hail to the King or whatever?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I wonder if they'll ever circle back to that at some point, or if we're just, that's the only bone we're getting knowing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll depend on how much stuff they do with solo Iron Man in the future, you know, if anything. So.
Right. So I put up a post today on the official Geek Easy Podcast Facebook page, which you guys can find at facebook.com/Geek Easy Podcast. Be sure to give us a like there, because I always post stuff when we're about to record to ask for some topic suggestions. And a lot of people gave us some questions and stuff this time, so I thought maybe we'll just kind of go through this and see if
absolutely.
It spawns some conversation.
It's always one of my favorite parts of the show.
So, listener Johan, I hope that's how we pronounce his name.
I will apologize ahead of time. I'll make sure to listen to this show and see how much... I'm so nervous with this new equipment to even move.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, it's picking up everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So these are very sensitive microphones. I feel like every time I'm writing with my pen, it picks
up.
So hopefully...
I keep trying to take it like I just came from some sporting events.
Yeah.
A couple of softball games and stuff, so I'm kind of parched, so I keep trying to take a drink, and every time I'm like, no, they can hear everything. I'm ruining the show.
That's okay. We're going to get it figured out. Actually,
So if the sound's a little off, guys, we're sorry, but we will definitely get this figured out now that we've got the fancy new equipment.
Definitely.
Trial and error.
Feedback would be great, too. So
yeah, let us know.
Let us know how this sounds, if you like it, and anything. I want to know, because we want this to sound as best as possible, for sure. So Johan writes, did you see the Turtles, and are you caught up with the CWDC series? I think I already know the answers. All right, smart guy, listen here. I finally watched The Flash, thank you very much.
Just season one, though.
Yes, okay, so, again, I know I have to remind everybody, but I basically rely just on the streaming services to watch TV now, so whatever I can get on Netflix or Hulu, that's what I've got. The only thing I can watch on Netflix currently is the first three seasons of Arrow and the first season of Flash. So I am all caught up on all of that.
You
watched every bit of that.
Supergirl, as it aired,
yes.
Didn't you?
Also, okay. Supergirl just got put on Netflix.
Yes, it's on, yeah, because it's all
so
on Netflix.
So I was able to finish the end of season one, which I hadn't finished
yet.
Oh,
cool.
So I am now caught up with 3 seasons of Arrow, 1 season of Flash, and the first full season of Supergirl. As soon as they dump the new seasons on Netflix, Christina and I are going to do our very best to fly through at least Flash season 2, because holy crap do we love Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And then season 3, or season 4 of Arrow, because we want to try to start watching them as they pop up on Hulu,
yeah.
If we can. But yeah, let's talk about...
Season 4 of Arrow is not its strongest.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. That's why...
Two of Flash is great.
Flash is going
to
be
gonna
my...
Have to, and I haven't watched Legends of Tomorrow yet, but I got to throw that in there.
That's...
They're doing the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
They're doing, like, the whole Justice Society
yeah.
stuff, too. Like,
I know.
Just, they had, like, they posted the screenshots of Stargirl online,
mm-hmm.
and she's, like, straight up in comic book costume
yep.
and everything. I was like, DC TV is just the greatest
it's
thing
the
ever.
Best in the world.
I can't believe they're
I
doing
love
this
it
stuff.
So much.
Flash
DC
is...
DC TV, good yay.
DC TV, good yay. There it is. Flash is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It is every bit as good as everybody has been
yep.
telling me. Like, from the moment both Christina and I started watching that show, like, we were hooked solid, and we were like,
that
maybe
kid is, that kid is so engaging,
so good. And I think we were only maybe 2 or 3 episodes in, and we had just got done watching 3 whole seasons of Arrow. We were like 3 episodes in a Flash, and she looks at me and goes, I like this way better than Arrow. Like, she knew immediately that she liked it better, and I couldn't argue, because I was already so excited with everything they were doing. It's so fun. And the storyline was great, and the way that season ended, oh my god,
yep.
that finale
yep.
was unreal.
Yep.
And it's why I'm so anxious to jump into season 2, because it's got that
yeah.
big giant cliffhanger ending that I'm just like, I'm ready to jump in and see.
I have no idea why I get so emotional nowadays,
yeah.
because I did not used to be like this. But I had actual tears at the end
that,
of the Flash season
that,
one. Like, I was sitting there on my couch. I wasn't, like, sobbing, but, like, I felt one roll down my cheek, and I was like, what is wrong with you?
That,
you're watching the Flash,
man,
but it was,
that,
it got
that
me.
That time travel scene
yeah.
was intense.
That was the one. I got spoilers, as always, but that
right.
was the one. When he goes back up and shows up to his mom, and then sees other him sitting there basically, like, shaking his head, like, nope, don't do
well,
it.
Well, he, like, holds, he stops himself from
yeah.
trying to change history.
Yeah.
And it's
and
just like...
the way they built that moment, I was
yeah.
like, oh, my God.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh. It was so, so good. And it just makes you, like, have... It gave me instant questions, because it's just like, how did he know? Why is himself
yeah.
trying to stop himself? Was he successful in stopping himself at one point and completely changed
yeah.
things?
And then you
for
go
worse?
Cross-eyed and your nose starts
yeah,
bleeding.
And your nose starts oh, no, I've gone cross-eyed.
See, I just bumped the table again accidentally, and I'm sure I've ruined the show again.
It ruined. We better just shut this off. Yeah, so Flash is wonderful. I cannot wait to jump back into it. I'm very excited to see what Supergirl is going to be like now that it's on CW, because we already know we're getting that giant crossover
event. I really liked season one, and I already think season two is going to be so much better.
So, any speculation on what was inside the spacecraft at the end of season one of Supergirl?
No,
that's
actually,
the cliffhanger
kinda
that they
sort of forgot about that, actually.
She, like, opens up the... Because it looks just like the pod that her
yeah.
and Clark were delivered in, and she opens
yeah.
up the door and says, oh my god, and then that's just the end of it, so...
I will tell you what my speculation was from the get-go, if you want.
Go ahead.
I think I might have actually mentioned to you,
let's
but I'll tell
it.
The internet, I
yes.
guess. And this is random crazy theory. I have no basis for any of this, but they've got to do something to smash those worlds together.
Yeah.
And clearly they are separate from... the way that the crossover event went down
with
the
Flash.
And they're Supergirl. In different realities, you know.
Yeah.
So now they've got Superman showing up for this 2-part intro, and that seems like such a big deal for that show. And I think I've read a lot of people, actually, who have been kind of worried that, you know, he's going to overshadow her, and this is her show, and he should not have been introduced. And, hey, you know, that all goes to the writing, and the writing's been great so far, so I'm not... worried about that on the level. It just seems like too big of a thing to continue on with.
Right.
And clearly Superman is not in the Flash and Arrowverse and all that stuff, because I think that would have come up at some point.
Yeah.
You know, if they try to open those seasons, be like, oh yeah, there's Superman, he's been around forever, I would be a little upset. You know? But my thought is, within those first two seasons, and I don't have specifics on the theory of how it's going to happen, but they will do some sort of continuum shift that merges those two together.
Flashpoint, right?
Well, yes, but I don't know exactly how that, because the show, the openings of the seasons aren't supposed to tie in that much.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how that's going to work, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, if they branched off a Flashpoint somehow, they would have a lot of Flash in the beginning also, and they don't seem to at all.
Okay.
But my guess would be that somehow when the Supergirl universe merges with the CW-verse or whatever they would call it, Superman will probably have something to do with that, and that'll probably, like, maybe he'll get left behind, and the rest of them will move over.
Because split
I just don't picture him existing in that universe, because once Supergirl is in with all the rest of them,
yeah,
there's been no mention of what Superman's role will be, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just kind of like, hey, we got him, and he's in two episodes, and that's all they've really talked about. But they've talked about all these crazy crossovers they're planning on doing. It just feels to me like he is too big of a deal to have around to not be bigger news than it's been. Does that make sense?
It is. It does. It does. Yeah. It's kind of sad to think about, though, because she won't be able to, like, I am her cousin anymore or anything.
It that just, is a bummer, because those are some of the coolest parts.
Exist. Yeah. Like, he'll just be in another reality, and she'll, like, have memories of all that, but that'd be crazy.
And, you know, and I could be way off. In all honesty, the thing that they're doing, you know, they may keep the universes separate at least until December.
Right.
You know, or they could keep it separate forever. I have no idea. This is all just speculation. It was just kind of my thought, like, that seems like a bigger deal than they're making out of it, so there's going to be something that alters that.
Yeah,
you know?
Could be.
Looks good in the suit, though.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does. I feel like he looks like he's a little too young.
He looks like the CW Superman.
He's a CW Superman.
You know.
Man, I love that scene when Flash crossed over on Supergirl and they all walked into Cat Grant's office and she says, "What's going on here? You look like
like non-threatening multiracial cast of a CW show."
The non-threatening multiracial cast of a CW show. That was amazing. Yeah, he just, you know, Superman's supposed to be like a 34-year-old guy, and he totally looks like he's 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I'm excited to see how they just play that whole thing off.
Exactly.
I'm excited for
all
of it. So DC TV, good yay, for sure. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, because Cat Grant's not going to be
on there
know.
As much.
Yeah. I guess she'll still be on it, but not nearly as much.
I feel like they kind of set that up on that last episode, too, because she, like, promoted Kara or whatever.
Yeah,
she, like, gave her own office.
Well, but I don't... At the time, I don't know that they knew, or at least hadn't announced yet that the move was coming. Because my understanding is the whole reason that that's happening is they're moving the... They were doing the shooting in Los Angeles with CBS, and now they're moving into, like, Vancouver or wherever a lot of those shows are. It's cheaper.
They all get shot
and they'll all be together. Mm-hmm. And Calista Flockhart's basically like, yeah, I'm not moving to Vancouver, you know? So they're going to have to limit her role based on that, which, again, is all fine and all that, but it's kind of curious to see how they get around going about that, and if they're going to keep her in the show at all, kind of what the...
I know, I really liked her, too.
Yeah,
I liked her character
great.
A lot, so... Cool.
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing Clark and Jimmy interact.
Oh, man.
I'm also looking forward to seeing Clark standing next to a Jimmy Olsen who is just as built as he is and probably taller.
And, and probably looks older, too. Yeah. The second part of your question, I still haven't seen Ninja Turtles 2, but that's because I think we talked about it on the last podcast. It was already out of theaters. I didn't get a chance to see it.
It feels like it should be out on DVD.
The 20th.
Okay.
September 20th. So once it's out, I'll be picking it up. We'll be watching it, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
I need to
watch it again with
you. We should watch
it
together, because I would still like to talk about some Turtles. As far as, like, the current Turtle season, I am not caught up yet, because they just started the new season on TV. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, because none of the streaming services have friggin' Ninja Turtles on there. It drives me crazy. Like, Hulu's got Ninja Turtles on there, but they haven't updated since, like, season 3. It's just the first 3 seasons.
Oh, really?
Like, they don't put the new episodes on there.
Yeah, weird.
So, I know. So... eventually I will track down and watch the new episodes, and I'll binge them and get myself caught up.
Cause I'm back on the Fugitoid ones. I don't even remember what season that was.
That's the last season. That's last season. So you're not too far. You just need to finish that and then watch. Like, I think they've had like 3 episodes of the season so far. Okay. So I just need to get myself caught up. All right, let's check out some of the other questions we have here. Okay, so this is a question from Ram Jam. It says, "Hey, Pixel Dan." Awesome. That's a good name. It's a good name. It says, "I enjoy watching your videos. It's because from watching your videos, I started collecting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles action figures." That's awesome.
Okay, cool.
He says, "My question is, have you read the Batman and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover comics? And do you think a live-action movie of Batman and Ninja Turtles could work?" Did you know that they did that, first of all?
No, I didn't.
I'll start by answering, I haven't read it yet. I want to. But it was within the last year, they did a Ninja Turtles and Batman crossover.
That's awesome.
Like, Batman teamed up with the Ninja Turtles for, like, a story arc.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that ridiculous? But it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure there's a trade out now with the whole story collected, and I do plan to pick it up and buy it. But another thing that's really cool is just recently I saw they announced that they're doing another one, but that one was more, like, comic booky style. So, it was like, because IDW does the Ninja Turtles comics, and it's a pretty good series. I haven't kept up with it in a while, but I really liked what they were doing with it. But they're doing a new Ninja Turtles Batman crossover, but the new one is the Nick style Turtles crossing over with animated series Batman.
Awesome. Boom.
How amazing is that?
Mind blown.
So now we're getting another crossover, but they're the animated styles.
That's amazing.
I'm pretty excited to see how that turns out too. So I definitely plan on reading the one that we already got. I'm looking forward to checking out the new one. Do I think a movie could work? License-wise, no. Yeah. That could never work. Do I think it would be super fun to watch? Yep. I definitely would. Yep.
That was exactly going to be my answer. Yeah. You know, with the creativity we've seen recently and the way writing works now and the way people have been able to meld all this stuff together, could they make a cohesive story that was awesome to watch? Absolutely. That'd be super fun.
Yeah.
From a business standpoint, no.
No way. Yeah. That would take Nickelodeon and Warner Brothers working together to make a movie, and I just don't see...
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening, you know? I mean, you never know. I guess crazier things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised by stuff every year, so who knows?
All right. Dean says, "I have a topic that might be fun to discuss. Have there been any geeky TV shows or movies that everyone else seems to love, but you just could not get into?" Do you have an immediate answer for that one?
Does The Office count?
The Office. I don't know how
geeky specifically it would be.
I don't think that would kind of count, almost. Okay. Unless you're talking like specifically like superhero-y or anything. But like The Office was a very popular series, and I never watched an episode of it.
You know, and I watched, I'm going to guess 5 or so. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd catch it once in a while. I watched a couple early on because everybody loved it so much, and I just didn't catch on. And it was one of those deals where, I mean, I can't run around saying I hate The Office, but I've seen 5-ish episodes, so a solid hour and a half, 2 hours of this show, and I don't think I've laughed more than once or twice. I don't know why. Everybody seems to love it. It just didn't hit me.
Just didn't resonate. Yeah. And I never even felt like I wanted to watch it. I don't know. Doesn't mean I wouldn't like it if I did, but I don't know. I have way too much TV right now to watch to even like think about starting something like that. So that probably won't happen. If we're talking like, and I don't even know if this counts because I don't hear a ton of people talking about how much they love this show, but if we're talking about like the superhero-y kind of stuff, the modern stuff, I don't care about Gotham at all.
Yeah, for sure.
At all. I watched the first couple episodes of season 1 and immediately was just like, nope, this doesn't hold my interest. I have no interest in this.
That's one, and that would probably be a perfect example there too. Like, I remember seeing all the hype for that coming up and thinking, that doesn't look good at all. And I honestly have not watched any of it, but when it came out, because I didn't even know if it was going to last, so I just sort of let it ride. And within the first 5 or 6 weeks, multiple people whose opinions generally line up with mine basically went, yeah, we lasted maybe 3 episodes and we're just sort of bored.
I'm kind of surprised that it's still going and that they're like still promoting stuff.
Yeah, because you're right, I don't hear a lot about it one way or the other.
I don't hear anybody talking about it ever. And this is my thing with that show. Like, So that it's basically like the Smallville version of Batman, because they're doing the thing where, like, they're introducing all of these characters and these villains and everything in an order that just does not make sense for the Batman universe, but they don't care because they're doing their own thing with it. And my thing is, in the world we live in now, where we have things like the amazing CWDC shows that people love, and the Marvel stuff that people love, why would you do a show like Gotham? I don't get that.
It did make a lot more sense in, like, 2000 when superheroes weren't on TV and special effects hadn't caught up to the point where you could do that stuff on the cheap. Because, I mean, remember when Smallville came out? It was 2000 or 2002, somewhere in that range. It was, like, before, like, X-Men and Spider-Man had even really hit. So, like, movies could barely handle doing that kind of stuff. Yeah. There's no way a TV show could. So it makes sense to do a younger Clark, like, not even a Superboy Clark, just a high school kid who happens to have powers. But like you said, nowadays, I mean, we have that Arrow show and that Flash show both have production values high enough, and they're made cheaply enough to where you know they could put a halfway decent Batman show on if they really wanted to, especially if they were putting Fox money behind it instead of CW money behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know everyone in the world would watch that, you know? Right. So you're right. Why would they just do that one and not the other?
That's so weird.
And, you know, WB's got one of those things. They always seem so worried about mixing TV world with movie world. There was a while where I was getting the impression that they were almost indignant of their TV universe because they had these big movies coming out. Now, that was back when they thought everybody was going to love their movies, and that hasn't happened. So now I think they're suctioning to their TV a little bit more and taking it more seriously.
They should.
But they've got that old, and we've talked about that before, too. I feel like a lot of the problems with the movies they've been making is this old Hollywood mentality of comics are one thing and movies are another thing, and there's a certain way you have to make a movie, and it's just not working that well.
No,
and I think that bleeds over into the same thing where they're very much, these are our movies, they're our flagships, they're our babies. This TV thing is just this thing over here, you
the
know,
TV
whatever.
Stuff's for the nerds. We have to make these movies so that everybody in the general population will like it. Therefore, we have to make it this very Hollywood way. That's their mentality.
Yeah, yeah. Which
but the,
isn't
the,
working.
It's not working because Marvel's like, you don't have to do that. Look.
Yeah.
The public is not as stupid as you think they are.
Yeah.
Look. And I don't know why nobody else is really grasping that yet, but they're just not.
Yeah.
They're not grasping that part.
Yep. And they're struggling and they're trying, but it's not coming through, like you said. And
super
so it's really weird how that works, but I think that's kind of the same thing. I don't think a Batman show has ever barely been on the table because there has always been some version. It was, since they've been doing the TV stuff, there's been some version of successful Batman movie out there, or there has been a Batman product that they've been working on, even when they were doing Smallville, and they often talked about maybe adding Bruce Wayne into that, or doing a Bruce Wayne version of that, or anything else. But even the first several years of Smallville, before Batman Begins had actually come out, there was always a Batman project that was in the works. So there was always something that said, you know, well, we're not going to do a TV show because we've got this Aronofsky thing we're working on. And that falls through. It's like, well, we're not going to do a TV show because we've got this Nolan thing we're working on. And then that actually, you know, comes out and is successful. And again, they just sort of forget that the other thing's over there. And that's why they could run with Smallville, because with Smallville, they didn't have any. It was the one break-in period there where the Tim Burton thing had sort of fallen through, and they didn't have a whole lot of Superman plans. They had tons of money they had dumped into failed projects, but they had nothing big coming to really stop them.
Right.
And I doubt they thought that show was going to last 10 years.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So they kind of threw it out there. But yeah, I don't think they fully respect how good a thing they have with their own TV products, and it limits what they're willing to do with those, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think someday, sooner than later, we're going to see an adult-ish Bruce Wayne on TV, if not a full-blown Batman, at least
totally fine with
teenage
that.
To
and I know we
a slightly older one.
We kind of talked about your theory of how you don't know if Superman can really exist in the same continuity as Arrow and Flash and all them because of what's already established. But it's kind of fun to think that, like, if Superman is out there in the TV world, then Batman has to be out there also.
Mm-hmm.
And Arrow has basically been fighting all these Batman villains anyway.
Sure.
It would just be kind of cool to at least get a little nod that Gotham's out there,
yeah,
that Batman's out there.
Some kind of Wayne Enterprises.
Just anything like that, just to know that some that's been going on, that these guys have tangled with the Bat at some point too, you know? Or like maybe even like one of your crossover cameo characters could be like Nightwing or something.
That would be awesome.
I feel like that would be really fun to see. So
I will say, and I know this doesn't directly count as that, but I laugh every single time they do that bit when they're like, yeah, over here in the Arrow Cave. We're not calling it that.
Dude, Arrow Cave. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
But Oliver gets so upset every time.
Well, I just love that Arrow totally is their TV Batman.
For sure.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I think we joked about that on here before too, but the first season when we were watching that show, like, every time he, like, zipped away on his little zip line or something, Christina was always just like, this is ridiculous. He's just Batman. Like, she just kept doing that. And I laughed every time. I thought it was so funny. Oh, man. All right. Let's move on. Change topics a little bit. We actually have two questions from Sammy and Jeremy, both regarding the same kind of thing. Sammy asks if we have any thoughts or speculation on the upcoming Hasbro Shared Universe movies, while Jeremy goes the other direction, asking if we had seen the announcement and have any thoughts on the shared universe in the comics that IDW is doing with the same stuff, the Hasbro stuff. So basically, what we know is that Hasbro is planning to do a movie universe, which is going to feature several of their properties, such as G.I. Joe, Mask, Visionaries, Micronauts, and Rom the Space Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these are properties that they're completely reviving from the dead, like Visionaries and Micronauts and Rom the Space Knight. And G.I. Joe is like, they're trying to rebound. Mask has been dead too. All of those have been dead basically, except G.I. Joe.
Mask.
Mask was great.
Yeah, those toys were awesome.
So it's kind of cool. I feel like it's cool to see them trying to do something with all of them, because Hasbro's just been sitting on all these licenses for years, and people have been wanting to see them get used somehow, some way for quite some time. And you can tell that they're kind of already trying to test the market with some of this stuff, because at San Diego Comic-Con this year, one of their Comic-Con exclusives was a Micronauts box set, where they basically reproduced some of the old 70s Micronauts toys and sold it as a Comic-Con exclusive. And there was a Visionaries Mighty Mug figure. Mighty Mug is like their weird vinyl figure line.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, I don't know, they're kind of like the Funko Pops, if you've seen them,
yeah,
but it's Hasbro's version of that. But they made a Visionary one of those as a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. So they're kind of starting to throw those properties out there now.
Testers.
You're testing it, you know, seeing if people get excited about it. So you can tell that they're kind of starting to gear up for it. It's going to be interesting to see how they make it all work. I don't think it's too far-fetched to make it all work, considering we've seen a lot of this stuff in comics, and I feel like the comic stuff has crossed over just fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if these properties specifically have, but gosh, G.I. Joe and Transformers were intertwined for years.
Exactly.
If that works, yeah, and I mean, how easy is it to throw Mask right there in with G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, those are basically the same kind of thing.
Sure.
And Visionaries isn't too far-fetched. I know Visionaries deals a little bit more with magic, but gosh, if we've already got the Transformers running around in that universe, magic can exist too.
Yeah.
So Space Guys can exist too, because the Transformers come from space, so the Micronauts and Rom the Space Knight. Like, seriously, I feel like all this stuff can totally work fine if they're willing to commit themselves to actually making this work.
For
that's
sure.
what they got to do. Like,
and I think the idea of doing it in the comics is another great sort of tester.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, throw it out there, get people accustomed to the idea of how these worlds can work together.
Right.
And so that way you've got, you know, if you make strong stories out of it, you've got a little bit of word of mouth backing going into it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I will say is with this, you know, the news that's come out here, and you're the one who mentioned that, you know, the comic version was going to replace the movie.
Visionaries.
Movie had Visionaries. The comics were going to have Transformers.
Yeah.
And I got to go back and check and see where I've faltered, or if it's something's changed or what. I could have swore when this news had first broken about the movie universe, I thought Transformers were already supposed to be part of it.
I did too. Especially since they're making a new one now, too. I mean, they're filming one right
Well,
now.
Well, and that's the other thing, is there was a lot of speculation when the title card for the new Transformers and everything came out, because without any explanation for what's going on, they call it The Last Knight, and I think there's a sword in the logo, and I believe the movie is, I still haven't seen 4, But I believe this new one is supposed to be set in... I need to see 5e. I don't need to like it, but I need to see it. And I liked 1 through...
I know.
Well, I liked 1 and 3, not 1 through 3. And I didn't like 2.
I liked 1. I think that's the one I really cared about.
Point being, I believe the new one's supposed to be set in space. They've got Knight in the title, and they've got that sword in there, so I heard immediately a lot of people were saying that there was going to be some sort of ROM tie-in, and maybe that was going to be kind of the kickoff point for this. And it's one of those deals where you go, well, just the fact that they put the logos out there and the name in the logo doesn't actually mean anything. But then you step back and go, if they're really serious about doing this shared stuff, why would they put a tease out there like that and not follow through with it? So it's either an indication that something's happening, or it's an indication that they don't get it.
Yeah.
And... That's a little scary.
That is scary. Well, we'll see. I'm anxious, really, to see what's going on. I'm curious, I guess, more than anything. I'm always cool with toy properties getting revived, especially. So if like the worst thing that happens with these movies is we get some new toys based on these dead properties, I think I'll be okay with that, because at least we'll get something fun out of it, you know. But I don't know. I'm curious to see if they can make it work. I know that the shared movie universe is totally the new thing now because Marvel's done it so successfully. Yeah. I just hope that some of these other studios can really figure out and see how Marvel's doing it and try to capture that magic instead of just going, oh, look at all the money Marvel's making.
In an industry just rife with people copying each other to capitalize on popular things, I cannot believe that 8 years later, no one's even come close to doing this right
again.
That's
what I'm saying.
And it makes you think, too, what if someone else had tried this to that level first and failed miserably?
Ugh,
we might not even have the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, that could have been bad. That could have just wrecked the whole thing.
I just don't get it. They should just put us in charge.
Oh, yeah, I agree. They should put us in charge. Okay, Ryan Farr, he's got all kinds of topics for us. I think we've covered a lot of the stuff he's mentioned here, but there's a few things here that might be kind of cool to talk about. The first thing we've got here is Mick G talking about the He-Man movie and how it should be similar to the tone of Guardians of the Galaxy. So I haven't talked about this possible He-Man movie a whole lot, and I think I might have mentioned this before. I am totally, like, in this mindset with this movie that it's not even a real thing. Because this movie has been talked about for a decade. It's like seriously, they're making a He-Man movie. They're making a He-Man movie. I've been hearing that for 10-plus years now. Director keeps changing. The studios keep changing. There's constantly news out there about this He-Man movie, but it has not progressed at all. So I'm just like, I'm tired of like the speculation, and I want to wait until there's something solid out there before I really start getting myself wrapped up into it. And even though Mick G is associated with it now and he's talking about it because people keep asking about it, there's still like nothing solid out there about this movie at all. Like, you know what I mean? Outside of these little interviews that people are doing with them. So I don't know. I'm just really not getting my hopes up for it, especially with everything that's happened recently with Mattel and the Masters of the Universe Classic sign, which we're going to talk about a little bit more in just a bit. I'll get into detail with all of that. But anyway, there is like some, you know, just recently, just this month, like IGN interviewed Mick G, and they asked him specifically, can we ask you the current status of the Masters of the Universe movie? Mick G's response is, it's a very exciting moment for Masters of the Universe. We have a big meeting with Sony regarding prep of the movie on Wednesday, and we're in the middle of a bit of a script polish, and it's my absolute passion. I'm laser focused on that being my next film. But I mean, you know how it works in contemporary filmmaking. You really, really have to earn the goodwill of the parent studio. And that's like all he says about it, really. They ask him if he's cast the role of He-Man. He says, we haven't cast the role yet, but I like Kellen Lutz. I'm not sure who that is. I guess social media. That's another one of those guys. Social media keeps doing this thing where they're like, oh, this guy should play He-Man. This guy wants to play He-Man. And then, like, all the news sites pick it up and go, this guy's playing He-Man. And that keeps happening, too. So I guess this is just the latest guy
in that. I think he's one of those Twilight guys.
Okay.
Is that right?
So it's McG goes on to say, obviously, we need a talented entertainer, but we also need certain physicality, which he embodies. He'll be considered very, very closely. We haven't gotten to the casting process yet. I mean, everything that he's saying here in this interview is totally like the standard blow off of these questions because he doesn't have any news on it yet. And that's all I'm getting out of this. So
I didn't even think they had a script yet. But I guess well, they don't have to have a script.
Who was the last guy? James Gunn was the last guy that was going to direct it. And he's the one that I actually got to talk, I hung out with and talked to him for a long time in person. And he said the exact same thing about the Guardians of the Galaxy 5. That was his goal. He says that he felt like Guardians of the Galaxy was the perfect movie to show the studio, hey, this is how we need to do Masters of the Universe, which I agree with that tone of that movie, because Masters of the Universe is a very similar kind of thing where it's got to be a lot of, you know, it's got to be a group of very different types of characters mm-hmm. coming together. It's got to be a very spacey yet very technology focused kind of movie. You know, it's
tons of rock and roll.
Tons of rock and roll. But maybe not that part, but there's a lot of similar elements. So I'm cool with that vibe. But James Gunn had a script too at the time. Like when I was talking to him, he
The Guardians guy, that's who?
Oh, no. I guess it's not James Gunn. It's I'm sorry. James Gunn was the Guardians guy. Who was the guy that directed Kick-Ass 2?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm totally blanking on his name, and I said the wrong name. I didn't mean to freak you guys all out with the wrong name there. Let's see. Kick-Ass 2 director. I have the internet, so I'm going to look it up. Jeff Wadlow.
There we go.
Jeff Wadlow. Jeff Wadlow's the guy I was hanging out with. He had a script ready to go, too, when he was on board for the mm-hmm. Masters of the Universe movie, because when we were talking and I was asking him all these questions, he was telling me about elements of his script, because he was actually getting feedback from people. He wanted to know what people thought of things. He was at the Masters of the Universe party we were having in San Diego. It was really cool. He was a super cool guy. But like the things that he was telling me, I actually really liked. And he was telling me that he had the script and he was planning to drop it off on Sony's desk on such and such day. And then like seriously, a few months later, he was off the project. Yeah, he was off the project. Nice. And then they announced, you know, at the beginning of this year that McGee was on the project. So it's just, I don't know. I don't have any real hope for this movie right now. I feel like it's one of those things that they just can't get off the ground. Yeah. So,
and the less, you know, the more you hear, you know, yeah, we want to start pre-production without any actual, like, news to follow it, the more you fear that they're just going to kind of throw something together.
Right.
You know.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know. That's what I think about the Masters movie right now. And we'll see what happens. If things start getting a little more solid and concrete and we get some, like, legitimate announcements, I'm sure I'll have a lot to talk about with it, because I want to see a really good He-Man movie. Yeah, I really do. Sure. I really do. Obviously, it's like my favorite property, so I'd love to see it done right. All right, so let's stay on the Masters of the Universe train for just a minute. This is going to be a big toy question, but our buddy Jack Starro writes in with a very thought-out question here. He says, "Hey guys, welcome back. What did you think of the announcement of Super 7 essentially taking over control of the Masters of the Universe brand from Mattel? What do you think motivated this decision? I realize that Mattel..." my thing's skipping around. "I realize that Mattel has been trying a lot of different licensing for Masters in recent years, but to outsource their bread and butter of actual action figure production seems like a strange choice, considering that it would reduce their direct profits. Or do you think that Mattel are just that disinterested in perpetuating the brand themselves? Or could they actually be so convinced that a company like Super 7, with more passion, will do so much of a better job that even their reduced profit share could ultimately net Mattel more total revenue? Any insights are welcome. All the best." So let's briefly break down this situation that happened here. This was like a big kind of news topic at San Diego Comic-Con this year, and it's because it like all happened at San Diego Comic-Con. But the essentially what we found out is that Mattel made the announcement that as of the end of 2016, they are shutting down MattyCollector.com, which was their online collector specific shop, which is where they sold all of their direct-to-market toys that were meant more for the collector market and not stuff that you find at retail. The bread and butter of Matty Collector this entire time has been Masters of the Universe Classics. Like, they basically created Matty Collector so they can sell He-Man toys, mm-hmm. basically. But in this recent year, they also started... They've launched a Thundercats line, which is... Like, the first figure is just getting ready to come out. Lion-O is just now getting ready to come out. So they announced that Matty Collector's closing at the end of this year, which means all of those lines are effectively canceled at the end of this year, from Mattel. Mattel is no longer going to produce these toy lines. This was obviously a little bit of a shock to a lot of people, though Mattel has been real quiet on Masters of the Universe this entire year. There has just really not been a lot of news on it, and there's been a lot of rumors and a lot of, like, people kind of felt like the end was near for a while, and then this news drops, and it's kind of like, oh, well, there it is right there. That's what's happening. The Thundercats fans I feel the worst for, because they literally are getting, like, four figures out of the Thundercats line, and it's probably not going to continue.
Oh, that stinks.
Which is a huge bummer. Because Thundercats cannot catch a break. Like, every time it tries to come back, it gets cut short every time. So, part of this announcement was they announced that the smaller company, Super 7, is going to actually continue the license, and therefore continue the Masters of the Universe Classics line exactly where Mattel left off, which is a really interesting thing, and not something that I would have called ever, because nobody has ever made He-Man toys except Mattel. That's always been their thing.
Yeah, ever.
Super 7 is a much, much smaller company. They are not the big company like Mattel. These are the guys that produced some of these smaller, almost like indie lines until recently when they started doing some licensing stuff. They started the Reaction series with those alien figures. They did those Masters of the Universe muscle figures just recently. Yeah. So they were already kind of working with Mattel because they did those Kenner-style He-Man toys and those muscle toys. So they now have the license to continue on with the Masters of the Universe Classics line. The Four Horsemen, which is the toy design group that has sculpted all of the He-Man toys, are actually going to work with Super 7 to continue sculpting the He-Man toys through them now instead of Mattel. And I guess the idea is that Super 7 is going to continue this line. I don't really know what that means yet. This news all broke the weekend of San Diego. They were literally finalizing deals that weekend. All of those guys were just figuring it out for themselves that weekend. So there just wasn't a lot of news yet. I did a really in-depth interview with Brian Flynn of Super 7 where I asked him as many questions as I could think of. So I would highly recommend you guys go check that out, because that's all the information we know right now. It sounds like Super 7 wants to pick up where Mattel leaves off with the line. There is no date yet. I don't know how they're going to... There's not going to be a seamless transition.
There rarely is.
There's no way that they're going, like, Mattel's going to stop December 2016 and Super 7 is going to start January 2017. There is no way that's going to happen, because they literally finalized that deal in July. There's no way they're already in production on action figures. Yeah. You know what I mean? They've got a lot of stuff to figure out. So I think we're going to have a gap in between production. Maybe I'm wrong. I just feel like that's logical that there's going to be a gap in production. I think that they're going to try to pick up with the stuff that the Horsemen may have already sculpted that Mattel hasn't done anything with yet, because they're already pre-existing figures. I think some of those exist. What they're going to do beyond that, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that how they're going to offer the figures. I don't know if they're going to do a subscription thing. They say they're going to try to use the same factory Mattel was using so that the quality on the figures is the same. But since they're a smaller company, I don't know if they can produce the quantity that Mattel was producing. I think this is going to be a very small, very niche toy line. I just don't know. I mean, there's so many questions about this right now. As for why I think Mattel did this, I think you kind of nailed it with them being just disinterested. I think they're just done with it. I honestly do. I feel like when Scott Neitlich was there, and he used to say this all the time, he always talked about how this was a very small line that they kind of kept alive because there was a passionate fan base for it, but it wasn't getting them a ton of money. This wasn't a line that was making Mattel a lot of money. It basically stayed alive because there was a lot of people there who liked the property and they wanted to keep making it. I think it just got to a point where those people were no longer there. And so the company as a whole was just like, why are we doing this? Yeah. Why are we still doing this? And unfortunately, that's just the way corporate business works sometimes. You know what I mean? These figures weren't selling in the numbers of stuff like Hot Wheels and Barbie and the things that make them all their money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just, it's very small. I really do feel that way. I know that we've got a really strong fan base for it. And, you know, I hope that we get some good stuff out of this line still. But I think everything is completely up in the air right now. So we'll have to just wait and see. Thundercats, like Super 7, said that they want to pick up the Thundercats license so they can continue those figures too. But apparently that license is way more complicated. Warner Brothers owns Thundercats. It's apparently a very complicated license, and he said that if they can get it worked out, they will. It really didn't sound like he was, like, certain that something like would happen with that, so I don't know, guys.
Sometimes a lot of that stuff depends, too, on how... I mean, they've got a lot of work to do, especially if they're a smaller place, to get what they've got going up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And if that crashes and burns, they can't afford to even try on the other, you know?
But I know.
My assumption, if they're that small, would be that they've got to get He-Man up and running, and it's got to be successful for the Thundercats to even have a chance, because otherwise they don't have a ground to stand on.
That's what I'm thinking, too. And I'm also looking at it from the aspect of, like, at this point, this toy line has been around for almost 10 years. It's outlasted all of the other incarnations of He-Man. We're just now about... It started in 08, so we're almost at 10 years.
Oh, wow.
But it has outlasted the other incarnations of He-Man. We've gotten more figures out of this line than any of the other toy lines. They have pretty much done every single character, except we're at a point now where they're just doing all of these kind of obscure and fan-favorite characters, almost like a Star Wars-y thing, where they're doing, like, all these small bit characters. So... The one thing that I'm really curious about is, can a brand new company that's a small company pick up a toy line where the only thing really left to make is all of these obscure characters and be successful with it?
Possibly. Or does that mean that you have to get another couple of new He-Mans?
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Along the way, too.
That's the thing I'm most worried about. I don't know if it's at a point now where it can just, like, withstand all of, you know, being with the smaller company and everything, with the character selection that's left. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's enough to keep the brand going.
Yeah.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Well, and I will they, from my limited impression of this whole situation, most of which has come within the last 2 hours, I will say it at least sounds like, I mean, if they're that small and they're trying this hard to get it done and they're out there bartering business at Comic-Con and all that stuff, it does at least sound like it's being picked up by guys who are passionate.
Oh yeah,
about,
I mean, they want
the brand
it,
and they want to do it. And my guess would be, if they've got the means to do any of this stuff, and you know, sometimes we bite off more than we can chew, and we just can't handle it. But like, let's say if you were in the position to start producing He-Man toys, and you knew they were going to be garbage, you wouldn't even do it. You know, would you?
No.
Yeah,
no,
you wouldn't even make that attempt. So these guys love it. They know what they like, and they know what the fans like, and they have to have at least some sort of indication that they can pull it off. So we'll just hope that they do.
Yeah, and they do seem excited. They want to make it happen, and, you know, that's the best kind of people to have behind something like
this. Exactly. And also, I mean, this could, again, if they're that small, this could be their big break.
It could be.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
If this thing's big, this could be what puts them on the map.
It
so,
really could be.
More
so,
power to them.
So
yay, America.
It's yay, America. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I'm curious. I'm hopeful. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, because obviously I love this toy line and I love this brand and I want to see it continue to be successful. And mostly I just want to continue to see it exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want He-Man to disappear and go away for another 20 years. You know what I mean? So let's just keep our fingers crossed and see what happens. Basically, that's where we're at now. Ryan, two other things that Ryan Farr put out here that I wanted to bring up. His comment says, Pokemon Go and Stranger Things? with a question mark, which I thought was a hilarious comment. So first of all, Stranger Things. It's been getting a lot of positive feedback. Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah, I watched it.
I'm almost done with it. I'm not done yet. So, I will say I'm enjoying it.
It's 8 episodes.
I know, and, well,
you
we got...
watched it today.
I could have watched it today. It's I think it's a little creepier than Christina was expecting.
Really?
So there's been some moments where she's like, I don't want to watch that tonight because it's a little scary. We should watch something funnier, you know.
Delightful.
So, I like it. I do like it.
It's awesome.
So I really like it, and I'm glad that it's coming back for a second season. I will definitely be finishing that up, and then maybe we can have a more in-depth conversation.
Yeah. You know, we should talk about that on the show sometime. We can do our own little chat down, because I had a very interesting conversation with a couple of people about remakes, reboots, and just kind of throwback properties. And one of the things that came up, and I've seen articles written since that were very similar to kind of the stuff we were talking about, like, one of the reasons this was so successful is it wasn't really like a remake of anything, but it felt like it was such a throwback to so many things, you know, and it was basically like, I mean, I really felt like it was like Super 8, but for TV, and I really felt like Super 8 was, you know, E.T., but with meets Jaws or whatever, you know, something along those lines. And so it's just kind of got that feel to where, you know, especially if you're around our age range, because that's exactly when we grew up.
Right.
Right in that mid-80s.
Right.
You know, early to mid-80s. Well, I guess that's right about when you were born.
I was born in the early 80s.
Yeah.
'82.
But, I mean, that world that they displayed on that show, like, is a very big callback to our youth.
Uh-huh,
so absolutely. We're right in the wheelhouse for that kind of thing. And without actually remaking a property we're familiar with, they gave us all that nostalgia feel in this cool new story. And I like very much that it was, I mean, I would have watched 16 episodes of it, and I probably would have loved it, but I also sort of liked that it was so tight.
Yeah.
You know, I like the idea that it was, and it made it feel more like an event, almost, you know, than a TV series. A little longer than most miniseries, but way shorter than most actual seasons.
Right.
I thought it had a very cool and unique feel to it, and I was a big fan.
Sweet. Yeah. I'm really liking it so far, so I can't wait to actually talk more about it in depth once I finish it. Well, I'll definitely do that. So are you a Pokemon Go player?
No, you know, not since, when was Game Boy out? They had, like, Pokemon Blue and Pokemon Gold. Were those, like, the
blue
first
and,
ones?
Blue and Red was the
blue
first
one. Blue and Red?
Ones.
Okay, I think I had Blue.
96.
Okay.
When this came
that's
out,
about,
I think.
I think that's the last
97?
Time I played any 97? Pokemon.
So, I didn't know you played those, the original ones?
Yeah, not super in-depth. It was a huge thing back then, so I was like, yeah, I'll give that a try. This is fun. That was great. But
I mean,
never...
it's like an RPG.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I loved them. I was real big into the first ones, Pokemon Blue, and then I played Silver, and then whenever Pearl came out on the DS is when I got back and played it again. But I do, I enjoy the occasional Pokemon game quite a bit. I don't play every version that comes out. I did get the app. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go. It's really fun.
Cool.
Really fun. It does get a little, like, once you get to a certain point, you don't turn it on as much.
Yeah.
Because, like, you get to a point where you basically, like, you've caught everything that's around, and the only way you're going to catch something new is to go somewhere different. And when you don't get a chance to go somewhere different, it gets boring, because you're like...
You should be the biggest player in the nation, then, because you're never home.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. I haven't played it outside of Springfield yet, so I'm actually really excited to turn it on at these next couple conventions that I'm going to, because I want to see if I find some different things. But it's really addicting, and it's just a fun... I like the concept of it quite a bit, and I think it's really cool that it's getting kids outside and interacting with each
other.
Idea. I think that's, like, the most genius thing about it, especially the way that they were smart enough to, like, align all of, like, the Pokestops and stuff at, like, actual locations where people should be outside and doing stuff. Like, for instance, here in Springfield, the downtown area is littered with Pokestops. All of the historical sites and everything downtown, it's Pokestops galore down there. So, like, it really encourages people to, like, go walk around and look at things and see things. And I think that's what's really cool about
that's awesome.
It. You know, so, good on
I mean, there's some negative ideas that can go towards it. It can lead morons into danger.
Yeah.
And I get that. And also, for the record... potentially some young kids who just don't know any better.
Yeah,
and that, you know,
I mean,
it will fall back to the idea that the adults should be watching. That kind of thing is potentially out there, but man, you can't focus on that kind of thing for everything you do.
You can't.
I mean?
Well, and it's just like, you know, you saw all of those stories right off the bat that was like, Pokemon Go made this person get hit by a car. Okay, that is no different than a kid chasing a ball into the street and not looking for a car. You know, I mean, there's common sense that has to go with stuff like this. There's parenting that has to go with stuff like this. So you can't focus on the negative stuff sometimes because that's going to exist with everything that's popular, especially.
And if you're a teenager or in your early 20s or, Lord forbid, even older, and you're dumb enough to jump a fence... to catch a Pokemon into a place you're not supposed to be, then you get whatever comes. You know?
Exactly.
If a bear happens to be on the other side of that
fence... A bear!
Then...
What'd you do? Now the whole station's in jeopardy.
What are you talking about? Somebody, like, breaking into a zoo or something like that?
I didn't see that.
You know?
That's
like, not into, like, the animal cages and stuff, but even then, it's like, don't...
Don't be dumb about it.
Yeah, I don't care what's happening on the video game on your phone, you should be smart enough not to break into places.
Right.
You know?
All right, our last question comes from John Russell that says, what are your guys' favorite superhero video games? I know that Dan plays games, but I can't remember whether Jonathan does or not.
I definitely do. Yeah. Not as much as I used to,
I'm the same way, as much as I used to, but still love me some video games. I think the obvious answer for me, and probably for both of us, is going to be the Arkham games, right?
Yeah, and I'm so not even a Batman guy. But those games are so good.
Those are just like the superhero games I've always wanted. Like they just nailed it with those. They just
so fun. Fighting style is just nonstop, and I could. You know, that last one that's come out is the only one I haven't done, like, 100% completion on. And again, that's stupid. I didn't Riddler get bored. Trophies. I just, you know, I think I got all those. I think it was the fighting challenges and stuff
that I've done everything. Yet. I've done everything in it except the Riddler trophies. Yeah. It's the only thing I have to do.
Yeah. It's just one of those, I didn't even get bored. It's just one of those time issues. And when you don't have time for 2 weeks, and you sort of start forgetting about it. And I haven't done the extra DLC, so I need to go back and open it up.
Oh, I do have some of the DLC still to do. Yeah. And what I like about those games is even after you've beat them and done a bunch of stuff, those games are just fun to turn around and fly around the city and stealth fight people.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I mean? Like I said, no matter what's going on, you can just drop down off a roof into a gang of 10 bad guys and have an action movie sequence.
Yeah.
And be entertained. They're super fun.
It's fun. I like it a lot. There's another superhero game that you love that you used to always talk about.
I was going for it too.
Good.
The Hulk?
Yep.
Yeah, Ultimate Destruction.
Ultimate Destruction.
From PS2?
Yeah.
So way back.
PS2 era. That's right. Yeah.
So probably like, 405, mm-hmm. I would guess, something like that. I loved that game. It was an open world Hulk game, essentially. And at the time, I thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And I don't believe it was a huge hit at the time, and I could not understand why. Because very similar to what the Arkham games are now, it was everything I ever would have wanted in a superhero game.
Yeah.
And I was never the biggest Hulk fan, but I've always been pretty well into Hulk. It's one of the, I stuck with my main guys, my Spider-Mans, my Supermans, that kind of stuff. But Hulk was always one of those guys where if enough things didn't come out this week, I'm going to go pick up the last couple of Hulks and read those, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
So I was into it without being, like, fully into it. But then when that game came out, I was just blown away because it was so... Open World was a newer concept back at the time. I think a couple of the Grand Theft Autos were out, maybe, at least three.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe a Spider-Man game. Along those lines.
Uh-huh.
I think, it's a Spider-Man 2, the movie tie-in, was the first one that was like that, so I think it would have been out.
There's been some good Spider-Man games, I was going to say. And those actually, like, started getting really good on the Nintendo 64, Spider-Man on the 64. I don't know if you ever played that one, but I feel like that was the first Spider-Man game that I really loved, because it was very early concept, like what the Spider-Man games ended up being, with the web swinging and the crawling on walls and stuff like that.
I think they did that come out on PlayStation also?
It probably did.
Because I played a couple on PlayStation 1 that were... same ones.
Loved it. That was...
But that Ultimate Destruction game, you could do so much. I mean, you could basically... You had your teleport station, so Hulk would like leap to the different parts of the city you were in, but you'd be going through looking for stuff and just fighting things along the way. But you could, just like in the Avengers movie, when he's running around doing all that action with the Chitauri, and he's just running across buildings and jumping and sliding down, like, oh, that's in that game. Like, you can jump from rooftop to rooftop, and when you hit the side of the building, if you hit it at a run, you can keep that pace going. You can watch it crumble as you do, and then you can leap off to the other side of the street and grab onto another one, and you can just basically hold on, and you slide down, and you're pulling chunks off as you go.
Oh, man.
You can stop cars and buses and stuff along the way. You can pick up cars and basically smash them and put them on as, like, Hulk gloves for, like, added power-ups for certain things. Like, it is... Anything you could think of for the Hulk to do, you could do in that game. It was so much fun and so far ahead of its time, I think.
That's the thing. Like, with the MCU being what it is now, why haven't they, like, made a new game like that with Hulk? That's so crazy that they haven't done something like that.
They could just come out with a redo of that game.
Like a remastered?
Yeah, you won't see me for a month.
I'd be all over that. I feel like they should do that. Get on it, whoever made that game.
If you still got a PlayStation 2,
maybe?
It's probably $6 on eBay or whatever PlayStation 2 games run for. Pick it up, man. It's super fun.
That sounds... Yeah, I need to play it more. I remember watching you play it a little bit. You talked about it a lot.
I was... I was engulfed in that thing.
Cool. Well, that was a good question. Actually, there was a lot of really good questions today, but I think that's our last one, so that's going to kind of wrap things up. But I want to remind you guys that if you ever have any topic suggestions, or if you have some of those questions like that about anything, really, we had questions all over the place today, which was really cool, ranging from video games to toys to comics to movies. So
yeah, neat little potpourri.
Yeah, it was nice. So anything in that kind of pop culture-y realm, you got anything you want to kind of talk to us about, feel free to post those questions. The best place to do that is on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/geekeasypodcast. And we'll try to keep you guys updated every time we record a new episode, especially so that way we can kind of compile a good list for the show.
Because I tell you what, you always put that notice out there, hey, we're going to tape, so if you guys have any questions, we always get great response for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Keep that up, but just so you guys know, you don't have to wait till the episode's coming out. You can ask the questions whenever, and if it's not something we can address in the show, we'll try to at least get back to you in some capacity, just reply on Facebook or something like that. But we really appreciate the questions when we do ask for them, but you're always welcome to contact us whenever you want.
Yeah, for sure. Always love the interaction on there. I also think our listener Ryan there, who asked us a bunch of questions today, he's planning to do like a Geek Easy podcast fan page too on Facebook. So I guess be on the lookout for that too, if you guys want to go the fan page. So that's kind of cool. Thanks, Ryan.
I don't understand Facebook, but that sounds very nice.
Thank you. We'll have a fan page and we'll have our main page. So that's pretty sweet. That's pretty cool. So, guys, thanks for listening. As always, we really appreciate it. There are several different ways that you can listen to this particular show. If you enjoy the full audio version of the podcast, we're available on iTunes. We're available on Stitcher if you're an Android user. We're also available on Podbean and the Podbean app. So whichever your preferred way is to download us, please do so. And we would love it if you guys could rate us and leave us some feedback on one of those sites there, especially places like iTunes. I know a lot of folks like using iTunes, so, ratings and all that good stuff would really help us kind of get the show out there so that more ears can be on us.
Especially
if you like the show. If you don't like it, you can go ahead and bypass that whole rating thing.
Yeah, not for you. It's not important. Don't worry about
it. It's all right. It's okay. And then, of course, I always try to clip up some of the different clips and put it on our YouTube channel as well, my YouTube channel. But actually, that's going to bring me to a question. Our YouTube channel, John. It's ours.
It's yours.
Actually, I wanted to throw this out there, because we had kind of discussed this the other day. I want to get some fan feedback on this. Would you guys at all be interested in us starting a separate Geek Easy Podcast YouTube channel, where I upload the full video podcast on that channel? Would that be something you guys care about? Would you want to actually watch the full hour and a half, 2 hour video podcast? I could populate it with old content as well. We don't have video footage of all of the old podcasts, but I can still put everything on there and there'd be a separate dedicated YouTube channel for it. Is that something you guys care about?
I think that's something I would watch.
Yeah? All right, cool. Well, I'm curious to see what everybody else thinks too, because that's something we can do, and we kind of talked about it the other day, just having a separate channel. And we've toyed around
with the idea.
Yeah. I might still continue to put some of the smaller clips on my channel and then put the full episodes on the Geek Easy channel and maybe get a little bit of cross pollination there. So
this all started because I asked him for his password and he won't give it to me.
Is that what happened?
Maybe we'll just make our own channel and you can have that password.
Yeah, well, I'll give you that password, John. Jeez. We're just thinking about some different ideas to kind of expand the show and expand what we're doing here. We even kind of talked about doing some mini episodes, which we might be doing at some point. Yeah. Maybe some solo mini episodes if John's ever got a specific movie or something he wants to just sit down and talk about, or if I want to sit down and talk about some toy news. We might do some stuff like that too if you guys are interested in it. So basically, we're just excited to get things rolling again and we want to try some new things. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And ideas are always welcome, like Dan said.
Yep.
So.
Very cool.
The best thing we'll ever do, we probably haven't even thought of yet. So if you think of it, let us know. We'll run with it.
And we'll make sure to give you a high five for
exactly.
helping us out.
Maybe a free t-shirt if we ever have t-shirts. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to wrap up this installment of the Geek Easy Podcast. So until next time, I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
Take care, my friends.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of The Geek Easy Podcast.